Blog Talk Radio.
My heart to you.
Welcome to Soul Food Friday with Stacy Lunsford and Erica Burnett. We are so excited to be back on the air tonight, and we thank you so much for all of your prayers, your encouraging words, and your love. We have a very interesting topic to share with you tonight. And the topic is, what is misery and how do you overcome misery? Now, Erica, Life Coach Erica Burnett is our facilitator tonight. And I'm just going to open up and share a few things about misery. And misery is a state of great unhappiness and emotional distress. And distress is a pain or it's a suffering. Sometimes it's a deep suffering. It's a long suffering that's kind of mixed with humiliation. And it affects the body. It affects the mind. It affects your spirit. It creates trouble. It's something that worries you. There's so many different definitions that we can use. But as I was just thinking about the word distress, I began to think about the different times that I was in distress. And I never really associated it with being miserable or experiencing misery. And I thought about a scripture that stands out to me in Psalms 18 and verse 16. And it says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and he heard. I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. And that encouraged me so much. And it's like, well, what can I possibly say? What can Life Coach Erica possibly say to those that are in distress tonight, those that are experiencing trouble? And then I thought about Psalms 46 and verse 1, because it says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So as we break down what misery is, what misery does, how misery affects those around us, we want you to know that you can overcome misery, but you must be willing to do the work. So please grab your pens and your pencils, your pen and a piece of paper. And if you want to join the discussion, please press 1 and we will grace you on open the mic and talk to you. And if you're in the background and you're listening via the internet, please feel free to share your comments or questions on the message board, and we will be more than happy to assist you. So at this time, I'm going to introduce you to Life Coach Erica Burnett, and I'm going to turn it over to her. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Miss Stacey. How you doing?
I am doing well. I'm excited about this topic and happy to be back in the house.
I know that's right? Long time, right?
Yes, it has been. To God be the glory.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I want to say hello to everybody who's listening, and I want to say thank you to Miss Stacy Lunsford for giving me the opportunity to be on the radio with her. So thank you, Stacy. I appreciate it as always.
You're welcome.
And like Stacy said, she said, you got to do the work. We're going to work it out. The only way that you get over, now we're speaking about misery tonight, but the only way you get over any type of traumatic experience, negative mindset, or what have you, is you have to do the work. It is all on us as people. We cannot expect everyone to even God as well, to just deliver us from whatever it is we're going through. It's a process. Even God can't make you do anything. you have to go to him and ask for the instruction to get out of whatever you're going through. And then you have to do what he says. So you still have to do the work regardless. Even your Father in heaven, you know, is there for you, but he can't do it for you. You have to walk through that process, because through any process of healing your mind, your body, your spirit is to do the work. So you learn through that process so you don't go through it again. So I wanted to start out by saying that. Now, and I also want to give the definition, you know, the dictionary's definition of what misery is. And I think Stacy already touched on that. I just want to repeat. And it says misery is a circumstances, thing, or place that causes suffering or discomfort. So many of us, and if not all of us, have been in a state of misery, whether it be a short state of misery or long term, where some people are just still living in it. It's a daily way of life for them, to the point where they have normalized their grievances. They've normalized being in that state. And some people really don't even realize that they're still in it, because they've been in it so long, it seems normal to them. And how you know someone is miserable, you know how that old saying goes, misery loves company? It's the truth. When you have someone who is negative, and every conversation, everything that you guys talk about, there's always a negative spin on it. You're like, oh my goodness. Now, who wants to be around somebody who is always negative, who does not know how to speak life into a situation, who does not have a positive thing to say about any? Now, all day long, you know, we go to work, we live life every single day. You mean tell me there's nothing in your day that happened that's positive? Everything was negative? That's not true. It has to do with mindset. It's a mindset. And I must say, and people may not agree with me, is that some of the misery, if not most of the misery that we feel and that we go through, is caused by our own actions. A lot of times, it's a lot of times we cause it. We cause it. And I'm not talking about people who have had things done to them beyond their control, like abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, you know, mental abuse. Those things are not things that we, because we can't control what the other person does. However, we can control whether or not we choose to stay in the company of those things. Now, sexual abuse is different. That's different. You know, that's an attack on the body, and it's, you can't control that. And I can't, like I said, I can't begin to speak on that. It's never happened to me. The only thing I can say is that from a perspective of what I'm thinking is that you would have to, in order to get out of that state and not go into a misery state, is you would have to work through with counseling and all of that. So it's still, even with that, something as traumatic as that, it's still a choice. We all have choices on how we live and how we think each and every day. So what I want to do is I am going to, now I did a little bit of research and about the causes of misery. Now, one of the things that I found in doing my research online on the internet, it says that expectations are the root cause of misery. And I can see, and I can definitely see that. I can definitely see that when something doesn't go your way, you know, you just negative, you feel bad, you upset, you angry because things did not work out, or you're disappointed because it just didn't work out the way I thought it was going to be, and I had it all planned out and all this stuff. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. When we do that, that's a mistake, because we don't control overall, we don't have constant control over our lives. Your Father in heaven has control, you know, believe it or not. And that's something I had to get to an understanding of. because I was not aware of that. I'm aware now, but I wasn't aware of that, you know, some years ago. So as life goes on, we're not in control. So when you are, you know, you set things up to go a certain way, you have to, and you get disappointed. That's not that, I mean, it's a disappointment of life or whatever, but that's on us. Because we're not in control, and we have to train ourselves to say, this is the way I would like it to go, but if it doesn't, oh well, it wasn't supposed to. The way it ended up was the way it was supposed to go. It also says constant stress and anxiety. Absolutely. If you're under constant stress and constant anxiety, and this is every day, all day, every week, every month, and this is how, that's a change. Again, it's all on you. That's a change, and it's all on us. I'm sorry. That's a change that we have to make in our own lives to rid ourselves of constant stress and rid ourselves of the anxiety, whether it be, you know, through prayer, whether it be through counseling, therapy, or both. It's our responsibility. And then the last thing I had is life view, is how we see things, our experiences with situations. So we have an experience with a situation, and every situation in life has its ups and its downs, and nothing is ever clear cut. So you have to learn how to, and I think I mentioned this a little earlier, we have to learn how to see the positive things out of every situation. There's always two sides to it. And it's very easy for us to tend to go to the complaining side of what did not go right instead of first, you know, talking about or thinking about or pondering on what went right instead of what went wrong. You know, those are the things, and we're going to go deeper into it because I know my sister Stacy over here, I know she got some stuff. I know her wheels is turning over there with some stuff she has, enlighten everybody on. But I want to start off with a question for whoever's listening, you know, whether my sister Stace, being miserable. So Stacy, how do we become, in your opinion, how do we become miserable?
That is a very good question. And I believe that a friend of mine that I was talking to earlier today, he said that misery is like a snowball. As you know, you throw that snowball, but if you roll that snowball in the snow, it's going to get bigger, it's going to get bigger, it's going to get bigger. And like when you think about an avalanche, that snow, if you're skiing in the mountains and that snow starts falling, and then it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. I believe misery is the same way. It starts out very small, and it's something that causes great distress. It's something that causes suffering. It's something that wounds your soul, your spirit. And when you don't deal with it, I mean, there's a couple of things that can happen. When we don't deal with what hurt us and we allow the hurt and the pain to dictate to us how we should feel, I believe that's the beginning stages of misery. And at the time, we're not aware that we are embracing misery, because misery is very deceptive. And misery will knock on the door and act like it's your friend, like they came here to help you, but it's really on an assignment to imprison you. So most people, when they get wounded, they don't want to deal with the hurt and the pain, and people tend to, you know, push sweep stuff under the rug, so to speak. So when you sweep stuff under the rug, eventually you're going to have a lump in the rug, right? Because it's not going to stay smooth. You know, that little bit of whatever the distress is, whatever that hurt was, whatever that pain is, that rug, you can still walk on it. You can't even feel it. But if you spend a lifetime of sweeping stuff under the rug, that rug is going to be like lifted up in the middle or on the side. And if you really want to, you know, broaden our mind, our imagination, that rug can become a mountain. And that mountain is now a mountain of negativity, a mountain of complaining. Because people that are miserable, they tend to complain about what happened to them. They don't see any good in their situation, and so they just focus on the negative. Woe is me. Why did this have to happen to me? If this didn't happen to me, I would be doing this. If I wasn't so broken, if I wasn't afraid, I would be doing that. So misery places people in a negative situation where they become pessimistic and they don't see anything positive. They're not optimistic. Even if something good is happening in a negative situation, they're going to choose the negative side because that's what they've been eating. That's what they've been drinking. That's what they've been sleeping with. That's what they've been entertaining. And it's like you get up in the morning, Erica. Some people, you know, I'm going to use the analogy of putting on your pants. So you have to lift your leg up to put your pants on. And so some people literally wake up in the morning and they take their shower and they get dressed and they put on their undergarments. But you know what? They put those pants on, and my God, they stepping right into misery. And they lift that other leg up, and they stepping into misery because their whole day is going to be based around misery because misery is controlling them. Misery is controlling their thought process. Misery is controlling everything that is coming out of their pores. You know, when people drink a lot, alcoholics, you can smell the alcohol coming out of their pores. Mm-hmm. But when a person is dealing with misery, and please, anybody that's listening, if you are struggling with misery, if you're miserable, if you're dealing with a hurt or a pain, we're not, like, focusing on you, or I don't want you to feel like we're talking about you or we're targeting you. We're talking to a wide variety of people. And so these are habits that people have embraced because they've been wounded. And when we get wounded, we get a hole in our soul. This is why tonight's broadcast is called Soul Food Friday. And we want to bring a wide buffet of food tonight to give you food for thought, but to help you dislodge all of those negative things, all of those negative hurts and pains, all of those things that cause distress in your life to rest so that you can break free from the negative thoughts, the negative expectancies. Because, Erica, I believe when people embrace misery, they no longer have a positive expectancy, and they begin to expect the worst in every situation.
Yeah.
And somebody can be waiting. Say like, I'm waiting for you at your job. You don't know I'm here, and I got some flowers and some balloons. It's your birthday. And you so used to nobody remembering it's your birthday. So you just come out of the job and you just, it's just another day. I know it's my birthday. But then, boom, you see me with these flowers and this balloon. And I'm like, hey, Erica, happy birthday. I appreciate you. And it just totally blows your mind. So every day, Erica, I want to wake up like that. I want to be like, I don't know how God's going to bless me today. I don't know what kind of flowers or how many balloons he's going to give me, but I know God is going to do something spectacular in my life.
Absolutely.
Because I had great expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. I'm going to turn it back over to you.
You said a mouthful. You said, especially when you said people just find, they just live in it. they wake up and it's like, well, you know, here go another day. Ain't nothing good going to happen. And people are literally telling themselves this every morning. Every day people are and how you know that? If you listen to people talk, you might not live with the person or see that person every day, but if you talk to somebody long, all you need is 5 minutes, you can tell that somebody's living in misery talking to them. It really doesn't have to be 5 minutes. It's a small, short chat, and you can tell who's living in misery. So many people I've run into, and by the time you get finished listening to them, by the time I get finished listening to them, I'm depressed. And I'm tired. And I'm one of those people who's extremely sensitive to the emotional, the emotions of other people. I can actually feel folks, how they feel without them even saying anything. I can feel their emotions and what they're going through before they say it. And when they get to talking and I'm sitting there and I am completely, one time I listened, and this is, I am not kidding. Whoever's listening, I'm not kidding. I was talking to someone and for like, I think 30 minutes, by the time I finished talking to that person, the only thing I could do was lay down and take a nap. I was so drained after hearing everything that came out of their mouth, all I could do was take a nap and go to sleep. I didn't have no energy. And the thing about it is that, and that's why Stacey and I are talking about, you know, you got to do the work, because everything that came out of that person's mouth, they were responsible for. They couldn't, the life that they were living and all this stuff came from the choices that they made. Now, everybody is not in that situation, like I spoke before, on, you know, having, being sexually abused and all that stuff. That's completely different. Most of the time when we are miserable, it is because of the choices and the expectations and the way we see life. This is basically why we live in that. And Stacey, you touched on something that is really important that I don't think a lot of people really pay attention to. Faith mentioned that when you do not deal with your trauma, it is the beginning stages of misery. And I never even thought about it like that. And when you said that, Faith, I was like, I had to write that down. I said, you know what? I said, that's absolutely right. That could, because it always starts from trauma. It starts from something that was very traumatic in your life that you just pushed, like Stacey said, underneath the rug. You just put it underneath the, oh, it'll go away. Let me tell y'all something about sweeping stuff underneath the rug and thinking that it's going somewhere. It never does. It becomes a part of your personality. So you take that, what you think you're sweeping under the rug actually is a part of you. And like you said, Stacey, it's coming out. It comes out the pores.
Yeah.
It comes out of your character. It seeps right on out of your character. So whatever it is that you got going on the inside of you, you showing somebody that day to day. So somebody is looking at you and they're listening to your conversation, they're watching your actions, and you are telling your story whether you know it or not. People can sense others when they are miserable because they're negative and their actions show it, and even their facial expression, the countenance on their face, you can look at their faces and tell they're in distress. They're constantly stressed out, and they're anxious, and they're nervous, and they're paranoid, and all these things are going on. It's because of that. It's because they're living in this stuff, and it's like the beginning stages. Like the guy, and that was a nice analogy of the snowball phase. That was a good one, because that's exactly what happens when you don't deal with your own trauma. It just gets worse, and as life goes on, life will always throw trauma at you. So that means that the trauma that life threw at you at the beginning is sitting right there. You've already marinated in that. And then you turn around and something else happens to you and you don't deal with that too. So now you got two things on your back. And then a week later, something else happens. and then now you don't deal with that, and it absolutely does. That's why it is imperative that you, because everyone does not have a relationship with God, really you should go to God first, and God will tell you where to go and who to talk to and who you should have therapy with, and will choose your therapists and psychologists and all that for you. But if you don't have a relationship with God, you need to go and you need to talk to a professional. Every time something happens and you can't wrap your mind around it and you don't understand it, this is why God has created therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors. This is why these people were created, just like a lawyer is created, just like a doctor to perform surgery, just like nurses. We have, just like construction workers, we have all of these people on this earth, and they were created for a specific purpose. Therapists, counselors, and psychiatrists and all that stuff were created to help you deal with things of the mind, your mental state. They help you break that stuff down and figure out what your problem is with it, why you're latching onto this, why you can't let go, you know, how this affected you. They help you with that so you can dig that stuff uprooted and get it out of your system. Because if not, it will ruin your life, because that kind of stuff will show up at an inopportune time. Each time until you deal with it. Every time something happens, it's going to pop up, and then people think you're crazy, and the job that you want so badly, you're not going to get it. The relationship that you want to build is not going to happen, or you're going to get in it, or you're going to ruin it. It's just going to ruin things until you deal with it. It's going to keep showing up each and every situation. It's going to keep showing up, and it's going to ruin everything until you deal with it, and that's God saying, until you get rid of this, you're not moving forward. Until we work this out, I can't let you go for it. You can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere until you get rid of this, period. And I mean, and that's just how it is. And it's not healthy. How can you have a healthy life when you live in the negative state like that? And everything is just wrong, and this is not right. And how can you? It's not a good, not a good place to be in at all. Faith, did you want to chime in before I ask the next question?
Chime in, because I also feel like people think people that are miserable because they want to be. And some people are, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then some people are not, because when we look at our economic situation today in this world, when we look at the level of poverty, when we look at the level of people that are being oppressed by many, many things, from our government to employers to jobs, you know, all of our institutions that's supposed to be for the people but are not working for the people, but it is afflicting the people. So there's different levels of being miserable, and the suffering that is caused, like I said, like you said, like we both said, we have to deal with it at that starting point. But Erica, how do we do that when we don't understand what we're dealing with? So that's why I'm so glad that this is the topic we're bringing to the table tonight. So glad that God placed this topic on your heart, because people don't know. It's like when you get hurt, it's two things. You either going to fight or you going to flight. You're going to run or you're going to face it. You're going to fight it. You're going to deal with it. But even with dealing with it, if you don't pull that thing up at the root, it's going to lie there dormant. So I like to say, abstinence doesn't mean deliverance, you know, and I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about anything that you saying, I'm not indulging in that. And I'm going to use like a donut. I'm done with donuts. I'm not eating donuts no more. But I know in my heart that desire, that lust for that donut, because I love donuts. Listen, we're going to have a women's breakfast, and then you know, everybody getting their tea and their coffee or whatever they're going to drink, and then I see those donuts, Erica. And I go over, and I didn't get just one. I got two donuts because excellence is a new delivery. You understand? And
yeah.
So misery is the same way. But misery, okay, you get hurt. You get disappointed. And it's just a hurt. It's just a disappointment. But when you marinate that hurt, when you marinate that, you know, like when we make that good pot of spaghetti, we want to let that spaghetti simmer, or either, you know, you making your sauce for that barbecue, and even with chili, you let it simmer overnight. You slow cook it. So when we slow cook our hurt and our pain, meaning that, you know, we going to take our time with it. We going to let it get settled. And that's when misery starts growing. And so my prayer is that people will begin to recognize some of the warning signs that they're on the borderline of becoming miserable. Or if they're already miserable, they're experiencing misery, that they can either backtrack and find out what the source was or what the source is. And to everybody that's listening, we have a lot of people that's listening via the internet, and God bless you. We thank you so much for tuning in. And those of you that have questions, please write them on the message board, or you could text Erica, or you could text me, and you can text right on the Blog Talk page as well. But if you're on the line and you want to speak to us, then you press 1. Because this is an opportunity. This is a roundtable discussion. And the purpose of Soul Food Friday is to bring awareness, but to also provide a platform for anyone that has something to say, anyone that has a question, anyone that just wants to express yourself in a safe environment. Because we're not here to judge. We're not here to criticize. We just want to see everybody receive what they need so that they can start the beginning process of the healing process. And Erica, I'm going to come back to you because later on, I don't know what your next question is going to be, but later on, I want to bring unforgiveness into this discussion tonight, because unforgiveness and bitterness is associated with the spirit of misery. So we really need to touch base on that. But thank you so much. I'm so excited about this topic. So you could come forth with your next question.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I wrote it down. Unforgiveness. Now, what was the second one? You said unforgiveness. And what was the other one?
Unforgiveness and bitterness.
And bitterness. Okay. And absolutely. Mm. Absolutely, because absolutely, we definitely gonna touch on that, because those are two big ones. Those really are two big.
Like,
ones.
If we was making a misery cake, like unforgiveness and bitterness would be like our sugar and our butter in this cake.
Ain't that something? Yup. And that's a good analogy. Go ahead, girl. Was she on point with these analogies? Ain't she? On point with these, and she making me hungry at the same time. Stop talking about that food, Stacey. So now,
okay.
Now I want some ice cream. I want some ice cream, and I ain't got none. Okay. I'm sitting up and he ain't got none. Want some, and don't even have none. But I'm going into the next question. My next question is that we might have spoken a little bit on this. Don't think so. But why do we live in misery? Why do we live in it?
Oh, that's a good question. Some people live in misery because of choice, because of circumstances. And can I share my own testimony of when I was in misery?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Because I know sometimes we do, you know, share our testimonies and stuff, but you the facilitator said, hey! So for those of you that are listening, you know me as Eloquently Speaking, the pastor of poetry, and I'm always encouraging people. I'm always optimistic. But you don't see me on those down moments when I'm having a moment or when I'm feeling miserable or when I'm experiencing symptoms of being miserable. See, symptoms can appear, but you don't have to embrace them. So I'm going to do a little sound effect here, and I want you to listen closely. So that's misery knocking at your door. So every time misery used to knock at my door, because I was angry, because I was bitter, because I was wounded, because I felt like the world owed me something because of those that had hurt me, I embraced every time misery knocked at my door. And I said, you know what? I'm in agreement with what misery is saying to me. Don't forgive them. Don't forgive them. Hold them accountable for what they did to you. Make them pay that debt. They owe you an apology. If I was you, I wouldn't even forgive them. I wouldn't even talk to them. I would just act like I don't even know them. And you know what, Erica? I, just like I use the analogy, some people get up in the morning and they step into their pants to get dressed, but some people literally are stepping into misery. Mm-hmm. And so I was choosing to live a miserable life because I was stuck in the quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
And that quicksand was my inability to forgive, my mm-hmm. inability to release the person, the people that had wounded me. Because mm-hmm. the wound, it went, you know, sometimes when you get hurt, and especially when you're dealing with a betrayal, that is the worst kind of hurt and pain. Because
mm-hmm.
it's somebody that you know. It's not a stranger. Like, I can deal with it if it's a stranger. But if it's somebody like a family member, it's a close friend, it's somebody that you trust, and they break your trust, that is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, God had to really show me. And it is with learning about the fruit of the Spirit that God began to show me that I was far away from, you know, developing the fruit of the Spirit because I was entertaining the fruit of darkness.
Mm.
So for some of you that are listening, you may not understand what I'm saying. So when we're dealing with the fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit is love. And the last fruit is temperance, which is self-control. So in the middle, you got joy, you got long-suffering, you got gentleness, you got meekness. And so when you display all of these characteristics, they're positive characteristics. And so when you develop the fruit of darkness, it is negative characteristics. It's being hateful, being jealous, being envious, causing division. Like, the opposite of love is hate. So I said, God, how is it that I'm choosing to live in misery when I have an opportunity to live happy, a happy life? Because I want to be happy. Like, I want to develop this fruit of the Spirit. So God had to really let me know, if you want to develop this fruit of the Spirit, Stacy, if you're tired of being miserable, if you no longer want to live a miserable life, then you must open up your heart to forgive those that have wounded you, regardless of the circumstances or the situation. And he said, it's not about the people. It's not about the person. This thing is personal. Because when you forgive, when you make a conscious decision to forgive them, to release them, and to bless them, this is going to allow you to come closer to me. And now I can perform open heart surgery on you, because that unforgiveness and your failure to release them is causing the spiritual arteries of your heart come harden. And so, Stacy, that's where you make the choice to live in misery. And so, Erica, I had to learn a very, very hard process of forgiving those that had hurt me. And really mean it in my heart, because it's real important to know the different types of forgiveness. because we could lip sync all night long. You know, I love to sing songs and stuff. We could lip sync all night long. Oh, I forgive you, yeah, mm-hmm. But then, especially if you're not in person and with that person, like physically with them, and you saying it with your heart, but in your mind is remembering, your mind is rehearsing because your mind is stuck. So your heart and your mind have to be equally aligned so that it could be in agreement. Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together except they agree? So, you know, when you're living in misery, sometimes people live in misery because they don't know they're living in misery. Some people choose to be miserable, and some people make the choice to come out of it as well. But for me, I had to understand what was going on inside of me, which comes back to what you said, we have to do the work. But Erica, to answer your question, I chose to be miserable because I didn't want to forgive. And I chose, you know, when I look back at it now, I was miserable as heck. And I used to complain about everything. And I remember my daughter telling me one day, she was like, Mom, stop. And I was like, she said, you complain too much. She said, it's getting on my nerves. And it really made me check myself. And I said, wow, what am I saying, you know, that's making her so irritated? And it was my misery, the misery that was speaking. Remember I gave the analogy of an alcoholic, you smell the alcohol coming out of their pores? Well, the misery was coming out of my pores. And my daughter was saying, I don't want to smell that. I don't want to be around that. I want to be in a positive environment. So that's my testimony.
And that was a good one. And I want to reiterate, I want to let people know that, you know, there's variations to why people live in misery. It's not so cut and dry. Like Stacey said, people don't know. Some people don't even know that they're in it. They have no idea that they're in misery whatsoever. And then some people, it's a choice. I'm choosing to feel this way. I'm choosing because such and such did this to me, and I didn't appreciate that. That really hurt me, so I'm going to stay here. I'm going to live in this, and I'm not going to forgive them. And this is how, and then the next person that come along, I'm going to watch them. They make one wrong move, and they out the door. And so you carry that with you, and you never, ever have a stress-free, trauma-free life is because you hold on to all of that stuff from your past, and it's just, you're just carrying, what you say, the bag lady? Remember Erica Badu with the bag lady?
Yes.
Carrying all this luggage. So we carrying all this luggage. Every time something traumatic happens to you, that's a bag. So I want to ask the question, how many bags are you carrying?
Right.
You know what I mean? How many bags? Yeah. How many bags you going to carry through life? How many can you, your body can only sustain but so much. After a while, those bags are going to drag you down to the point where you won't even be able to move forward in your life. You'll be stuck in the same place for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, normally I have that song in the queue, but it's not in the queue tonight because it would be so appropriate to play it right now. Because, you know, each offense that we receive, it's a different bag.
Mm-hmm.
Each hurt, it's a different bag.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you got luggage, it come in different shapes and sizes. You got a big bag, a little bag, a round bag, a clear bag. But Erica, we do have a comment from author Mike Smith. And
okay.
He said when he moved to where he is now, that the Lord reminded him of what Psalms 139 and verse 14 says about him being fearfully and wonderfully made. And that he was who God says he is. And so he said that he preached a sermon in January called an attitude of gratitude. You know, he's saying, and he's saying for everyone that is listening, in order to overcome misery, please start your day with an attitude of gratitude, because it's very important to show God appreciation, to show God that you're thankful. And that, I thank you, Michael, Author Mike, we thank you so much for tuning in and listening to us and also sharing this great knowledge, wisdom with us, an attitude of gratitude. Because if we start showing appreciation and gratitude, we'll find many things to be thankful for where we won't focus on those negative things. So back to you, Erica. Thank you, Mike.
Yes, thank you, Mike. That is so on point. Absolutely. If we focus on God and not our problems, because problems are not going anywhere. I don't know if anyone doesn't know that. I'm sure plenty of us do know. But you will always have issues and problems. It's just a part of life, and it's a part of life's process. It's a part of God's process in making us better as individuals. So you have to go through all of these trials and tribulations to strengthen you in certain areas. And those areas are the only areas that we don't even know a lot of times what areas we need to be strengthened. Only our Father in heaven knows what areas need to be strengthened. So when you go through something, you sitting there looking around, talking about, well, I had to go through that. You know, why did I have to be, you know, involved with all this nonsense? It's because it's strengthening you. It's sharpening the area that you're weakest at, your weak points. And it's trying to get you to strengthen that part of you. So that's another problem. There's not an understanding of the process of life. Some people don't understand what the process is, because we all go through a process. And when you don't understand the human process, that also can cause misery as well. Misunderstand, because you just don't understand.
Yeah.
You just don't understand what's going on. There's no understanding. So that also can cause it. We're going to go to the next question, because I definitely want to get to this unforgiveness and bitterness. But we're going to go to the next question. And I think, but you know, we might have touched on this, but I'm going to read it and I'm going to ask it anyway. Do we have a choice in whether we live in misery or not?
Oh, absolutely. Like with everything, we always have a choice. And going back to what Michael just said a moment ago, you know, he make a decision when he get up in the morning, he's going to show an attitude of gratitude. But what about if something is happening in your life that's not pleasant and you turn it around and say, well, you know what? I'm not happy with what's happening, but I'm not going to focus on that, because that's false evidence appearing real. I see something good, and I know God is working everything together according to my good, because I love him. See, we got to learn how to practice the word. And a very famous evangelist I know from Arkansas, she was ministering to me today, and I just want to give a shout-out to her, hallelujah, because she held me accountable for not speaking the word of God. Because I was a little jacked up earlier this morning, because I was experiencing so much warfare, and I entertained the spirit of misery. And how appropriate to even say this now, because I didn't even understand I did it until just now talking about it. So we choose to be miserable because we want to embrace the negativity. We choose to be happy because we want to be happy. But to share another example, I want to share this quote about misery. And it says, evil versus broken. And the author is unknown. It says, do not confuse a broken person for an evil person. A broken, the devil is a liar. It just went away. Okay, here we go. I'm going to start over. Do not, evil versus broken. And remember, she just asked the question, can we choose to be miserable? So do not confuse a broken person for an evil person. A broken person can be fixed. An evil person cannot. An evil person causes pain. They hurt others. They deliberately cause chaos. A broken person would never do any of those things because they know how it feels to be on the other side of those actions. So don't confuse someone who can be saved with someone that you will need to be saved from. So right here, I want to connect that. That's powerful. And
yes,
I want to connect that with your question. You know, can we choose to be miserable? Absolutely. And we could choose to be evil, or we can choose, you know, to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a difference. And so people that are miserable and they choose to be miserable, and even with that, we have to respect their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because Erica, this, and all of our listeners, this is where this gets complicated. Because we are humanity, we're so quick to judge, we're so quick to criticize, because we have a lot of addicts, drug addicts, alcoholics, murderers, robbers, liars, adulterers. Like, sin is sin. We can't make anything bigger. There's no big sin, there's no little sin. Sin is sin. If you borrowed that candy bar in the store, guess what? You still stole it. You didn't pay for it. So what am I saying here? When people are dealing with besetting sins, they are not choosing to be miserable in that addiction. The addiction is dictating to them that they're going to be miserable. Because I'm going to so control you. I'm going to so manipulate you. I'm going to be your desire night, morning, noon, and night. So you're going to have no choice but to embrace and choose being miserable, because your being miserable is going to feed your addiction. So just everybody take a moment and think about what I just said. Because some people choose to be miserable because of the addiction. So the addiction is a besetting sin.
Mm-hmm.
And a besetting sin is a sin that can only, or an addiction or a negative habit or a negative pattern that can only be broken by the power of prayer and then with fasting. But then your will, you must have a desire, your desire to be healed, your desire to be whole, your desire to come out of that place where you turn to the drugs. Because at some point, or that place where you turn to the alcohol, everybody is turning to something, somebody something, to heal or to fill the hole in their soul, to fill that void, that unmet need. So misery, again, is very deceptive. Misery is very crafty. But, yes, we do have a choice. And it all depends on the condition of a person's heart and the condition of a soul. So I want to just go over what a soul is for a moment, because a soul consists of our mind, our intellect, our will, our emotions, and our feelings. When things happen to us, whether they are good or whether they are bad, it affects our soul. So when we hang out in the soulless realm, we are being controlled by our feelings and our emotions. So what is the condition of your feelings and your emotions? Are most of your emotions warped because of the devastating blow that you received? Are your emotions damaged because you've been crushed by the betrayal? Like, what is the source of your hurt and your pain? What is the instrument that the enemy used to inflict pain? Because the purpose of the pain was to introduce you to the spirit of misery. And so whatever it is that you was turning to cover up, remember we talked about sweeping things under the rug. Well, sometimes we like to put a mask on. because we want to cover up how we, and it all works together. But I want us to think outside of the box tonight and see the enemy, because the enemy is behind all of this. Hatred, unforgiveness, and bitterness is going to say, choose misery. Choose being negative. Choose complaining. But love is going to say, happiness is going to say, choose to be happy. Choose to be positive. Choose to walk in love. Choose to walk in forgiveness. It's not about what happened to you. It's how you're going to overcome and develop and grow and mature out of what happened to you. So do we have a choice to accept misery? Yes, we do. And I feel this thing so strong in my spirit, Erica, that somebody has been choosing to be miserable because feel like the person that wounded them needs to feel the weight, the hurt, the pain of what they did to you. Because this hurt that you received, it deeply, deeply wounded you, and it caused great humiliation. And I just want to stop here for a moment to apologize to you, whoever you are, and I believe it's more than one person. But it's been easy for you to choose misery because you want to see this person get what they did to you. It's like you want to see them hurt. And it's okay that you feel that way. You have a right to feel whatever way you want to feel. And so we just want to let you know that God can handle it way better than you can. Because whatever that person did that hurt you like that, they moved on with their life. They're not even thinking about you. They're not even thinking about how they hurt you, how they wounded you. They're happy that you're miserable. They're happy that you're thinking about how you can get back at them or how much you want to see them fail. So it's okay. You know, somebody might tell you, you know, you shouldn't feel that way. That's not how, if you love God, you can love God and still feel that way. God said, be angry, but don't sin in your anger. So I just want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you tonight to say, you know what? I choose to let misery go tonight. Because I'm going to choose to forgive that person, or I'm a choose to forgive those individuals, because some, it's been more than one person that hurt you. Make the choice tonight to say, you know what? I'm done with misery. Break up with misery right now. Say, misery, misery, misery. I break up with you. Our relationship is over. I divorce you. I'm going to have a white funeral tonight. And I'm going to open up this coffin, and I'm going to throw you in there, misery, because you serve no purpose. You have no value in my life. I'm tired of being unhappy. I'm tired of making these bad decisions and choices. And I choose love. I choose love. I'm going to be happy. And it's just that simple. It's all about making the choice. So, Erica, I commend you for that question. That question was wonderful. And somebody is listening to this message, and they're making a choice. I really feel like the windows of heaven is open right now. And somebody is going to listen to this message later on, Erica, and because you presented that question, they're going to know now. They don't have to, like, that's not the only answer. So thank you for presenting that question, and the mic is yours.
Yes, ma'am. You said a lot of stuff. I was over here taking notes. And the biggest one that stuck out to me when you said you talked about the addictions. And I never thought about that. You know, you have addictions, you have vices as well, and we're I think those two fall under self-medicating, which is another
right.
problem. Is self-medicating. But Stacy, absolutely right. When those addictions will do that, they decide whether or not you are going to be happy or you're going to be miserable. period. Because addictions, vices, however you want, self-medicating, however you want to look at it, all of those things cause nothing but negativity in your life.
Yes.
Because all of those things are not of your Father in heaven. They don't come from him. So anything that does not come from him is not good for you.
Amen.
Okay, and people who, you know, with the drinking and the gambling and anything could be an addiction now. Anything. You can watch too much television. And that could be, and watching the wrong thing, that can be an addiction. Depends on what you're looking at. But it's just, it's not of God. Because anything that causes you misery and negativity in your mind and has you walking around in a negative state is not of your Father. It is not of God at all.
Absolutely.
He will not have you, like Stacy spoke about, is the fruit. Love. That's the first one right there. When you're in a negative state and you walking around in misery, how in the world are you going to show anybody love? You can't even show it to yourself.
That's right.
Not in a miserable state, you can't. What do you want? Yeah, not at all. And Stacy also mentioned, you know, you want that person to, so they hurt you and you want them to get all, you know, they got coming to them. You want them hurt. You want them, all of that stuff. That's vengeance. And Romans 12:19 says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. That means you're not supposed to be out here trying to get revenge on folks. You're supposed to forgive that person, leave them where they are, and you let God take care of that. Because he's the only one who can. You can't.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to let you know you have a caller on the line.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. That's great.
So caller with the last numbers 1906, your mic is open.
Thank you, ladies. This is really a good discussion. you know, I thought about Job, and I thought about how sometimes God allows us to go through certain things to test our faith. And we know the story of Job where, you know, the devil himself went to God and said, hey, let me touch his life. Let me touch him. You have a hedge around him. And sometimes people get angry with God. It's not even another human being. They're angry at God because God allowed certain things to happen in their lives. And sometimes it could be devastating. It could be devastating, really devastating, where you have so much loss in your life that you become angry, you become bitter, and then you become miserable. And I remember when Job, when he had boils all over his body, sores all over his body, and his friends came to visit him and said, what did you do, Job? What did you do? You know, so they didn't have very much to encouragement to help him, you know, through that trial. But it's just amazing in how sometimes, you know, people get angry with God and they stop going to church, they stop praying, they stop singing, they stop everything. Everything stops in their lives when they become angry at God, you know, for allowing certain things to come into their lives. And I also thought about how misery loves company. You know, sometimes people tend to gravitate to the same type of people in their lives who are miserable also. And
yeah.
and they just
yeah.
sit around and they just talk constantly miserable communication. You know, all bad things are happening in the world. You know, everything in the world is horrible, it's horrible. And they can't see, they see the glass half empty rather than half full, you know. So sometimes I just believe that the person with so much loss in their lives, it could be a divorce. it could be children. It could be having an abortion and losing that child and resenting the fact that, you know, you had that abortion and now you're being tormented, and the enemy is tormenting you in your sleep, and now you're miserable and you're constantly thinking about how you had that abortion and what if. And just so many things that can happen in our lives that can cause us to become miserable. You know, so it goes so much deeper. It goes so much deeper. But I'm glad we're having this discussion tonight because it's really giving me revelation, and it's encouraging to hear you guys talk about. Now, I guess we're going to be talking about some of the solutions next, you know, and how to come out of that. So I'm so thankful. God bless y'all.
God bless you, too. Do you want to stay on the platform, or should I close your mic back up?
You can close it because I don't want to make too much noise. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your the story. But wait, before you go, though, let us respond to what you said. And, Erica, I'm going to be real short. When you brought up Job, I immediately thought about his wife because she chose to be miserable. She said, you should curse God and die. And so I'm glad that Job didn't listen to her. So turn it over to you, Erica, if you want to respond to her before I close her mic. And then you, I sent you a comment, a caller. She sent a comment on the message board, so you could go over that, share it with the listeners after your comment. And thank you so much.
I did see it, too. Thank you for sending it. I did see it. I have it up right here. But, yes, I completely agree. Job had, and the thing about it is that, and I look at it the other way, God surrounded Job with the right folks. And that's what I mean, that we don't, you know, people who are miserable don't see it that way. Job could have looked at that as, oh, my life is over. It ain't nothing else going on around here. Why am I living all this stuff? God gave him positive people who sat with him and sucked with him day in and day out and saw him through that. And the thing about it is we all have those type of people in our lives. And at the time that we go through something, the people might not be there, but God gives us somebody during that time. And that's everybody. There's nobody on earth who's that special who has not received that kind of blessing from their Father. Everybody has. It's just that when you're going through something, we have not yet learned as people how to recall. We look at what's in front of us, and we don't think of what we've already been through and how God has brought us through that part of it. We look at what's in front of us, and we tend to complain about what we see, not realizing that he's already brought you through this 3 and 4 times. So what makes you believe that he won't be there for you again? And then how did he bring you through that? Did he get you the money to pay your bill? You know what I mean? So your house wouldn't fall over? Did you have what you needed in that moment? And we always get what we need. Well, we fall into such a complaining state that we get so used to it. We normalize complaining. We normalize negativity. And we think this is all right to do. And so that's why I said there's a choice. Like I said, we choose. Sometimes we do choose, and sometimes, you know, we don't choose. So you just got to ask yourself that question. Am I choosing to be miserable? You know, so that was great. Thank you so much for sharing your comments. And I don't think I got your name.
But I didn't want to say the name. They don't want their name out there that.
Okay, got you. But thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I completely understand that. But I'm going to read the comment that was given on the board. I'm going to read that now for everyone to hear. Okay. It says, God gave me my joy back in church one Sunday. I lay under a pew and laughed over and over until I cried. I could hear in my spirit a voice saying to protect my joy. Later, a test came that I allowed to take my joy. A lie was told, and I became angry and walked in unforgiveness and misery. I am choosing to let forgive and get my joy back. I don't want to walk in misery. Thanks for the discussion. Absolutely. And thank you, whoever put that out on the board. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts about that. And that's right. Don't let misery and unforgiveness take your joy. Forgive them, move on, and let God take care of it. Let God take care of whoever told that lie on you. Let God take care of that person and that situation. And you move on with your life. Now, nobody says that you got to keep this person around. Now, nobody says that. You know what I mean? But you do forgive him and you let him go. And you treat him as though nothing happened. And just move on and free yourself from that. But, Stacey, did you want to say something?
Yes. I didn't have the second part of the message at the time. So I'll just read the second part. And then I'm going to ask everyone that is listening, I'm going to ask you to please pay attention to what I'm about to share from this caller, because it's words of wisdom. And it's also an opportunity for all of us to choose not to be miserable. So Erica just read the first part of their comments. So this person that chose to forgive, a loved one is in ICU right now, and their organs are shutting down. So this person never got a chance to tell them, I forgive you. And we don't know if he's going to survive or not, because God is a miracle-working God. He can save him. He can deliver him. But he can also call him home. But because of this discussion tonight, her heart was touched, and she made a choice to say, I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I may never see my loved one again, and I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to carry the unforgiveness. So we're witnessing a miracle tonight. And Erica, this is why I said to you earlier before we started, I said, let God use you, because I have been on the edge of my seat about this discussion. I knew God was going to move in a powerful way. I did not know how he was going to do it. So what are we going to do now? We're going to say a quick prayer for this caller. We're going to say a quick prayer for her loved one that is in the hospital in ICU. And we're going to ask God to move by his spirit and let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But I want everybody that is listening to this live broadcast, and I'm also going to acknowledge those that are listening that will listen later on the on demand. Whatever situation you are going through right now where you need to forgive someone, and you need to release them. This is a wonderful example of how easy it is to forgive someone and to move on. So we pray that something is being said to help you overcome the unforgiveness or the bitterness. So we're going to say a quick prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this caller. We thank you for their loved one that is presently in the ICU. And their organs are shutting down. And to that we say, God, we praise your holy name, because you alone are worthy to be praised. Your word says, in everything, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Father, we thank you for this miracle that we just witnessed. And because of her willingness to forgive him, to release him, and to bless him, this may be what he needed, God. You could breathe the breath of life into his organs, and you could cause him to get up and walk. And we don't know what your will is, but we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for the family. We pray for unity in this family. We pray for healing in this family. We pray for deliverance in this family. And we use them as a point of contact for families all around the globe. And it doesn't matter what the faith is, God. It doesn't matter what the color is, God. We're here to promote healing. We're here to promote deliverance. And we're here to share the love of God. And it is the love of God that you placed in this caller's heart that allow her to open up her heart to forgive, to let go of the lie, because the lie placed her in misery. Mm-hmm. And tonight she is set free. Hallelujah. That is a good place to say thank you and show God an attitude of gratitude. So we just lift you up, oh God. And we say, be glorified in every area of this caller's life and in every area of her loved one that is lying in the hospital. Give the doctors and the nurses, give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding with how to care for her loved one, how to treat, how to properly diagnose, and God forever be glorified. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen.
Amen.
To you, Erica, and we do have another caller when you're ready.
Okay. We're gonna do this because we still got to do the unforgiveness and the bitterness, and that falls right in line with you. But okay, now here is the final question I had. How do we get out of misery?
Okay. And I believe the answer to that is with a scripture that I shared earlier in Psalms 18, verse 16 through 19. But in verse 16, it says, in my distress, I call upon the Lord and cry unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. So I'm going to read it over and put it in context of our message, okay? In my misery, uh-oh, did I just say that, Erica? Did I just say that, radio listeners? Listen again. In my misery, I call upon the Lord and cry unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. So, how do you get out of misery, everybody? You call upon the Lord.
Yep.
Why? Because as you cry unto God, he is going to hear your voice, and he's going to answer you because he is a present help in the time of trouble. So are you experiencing trouble right now? Is your heart perplexed? Are you being tossed to and fro? Because God, he wants to heal you. God, he wants to set you free. And God want to open up your heart to love again, because the offense has stolen your love. The offense has stolen your voice. And the offense has stolen your power and your authority. And Erica, right here, I just want to play a short song real quick that's lined up with your question. And I believe this next segment of us going into forgiveness. So everyone, please open up your hearts.
A heart that forgives, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil, goodness and love. Like it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgives, lives and lets live. One that keeps loving over and over again. One that men can offend because your word is thin. One that loves without price like you, Lord Jesus Christ. Want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. Want to love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want a heart that forgives. Want a heart that forgets when the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most. I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurting. I want a heart that forgets when the pain is so deep, it's so hard to speak about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my ride to hold it against them with hatred inside. I want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. I want to love like you, be like you, just like you did. I want to walk like you, talk like, just like you did. Want to be like you, live like you, just like you did. Cause a heart that forgives is a heart that will live totally free from the pain of the past. And the heart that lets go is a heart that will know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go.
Hallelujah.
God, I need to let it go. Lord, it's been holding me back. And I don't want it no more. I don't know exactly what to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus, oh. Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me, Lord, this is me. Lord, I let it go. Every person, every person that's ever
she chose that song, and that song was absolutely beautiful. I don't know who that was, but I need to get that from you, to name the song the singer, because that was a beautiful song. I was almost in tears over here. I'm sitting here saying, don't cry. You can't be on here crying and talking to people. You can't do that today, Erica. Okay, you can't do that. I was just saying that. But what Stacey and I want to say to everyone who's listening is that when you are ready to let it go, misery will leave you. Misery only hangs around because we allow it to. Once we say we're not going to live in this state any longer, it will soon leave. And the reason why it will leave is because your Father in heaven will hear you. And he will look at your heart and say, okay, she's ready to move on, or he's ready to move on. But you got to release it. We always go back to doing the work. You got to do the work. You got to give your Father in heaven permission to help you. All you got to do, and that permission, all you got to do is ask. So we want to move forward, because the song just speaks of forgiveness, and we want to jump right in to unforgiveness and bitterness. And I'm going to ask Sister Stacy to lead the way with this one. And I'm going to follow.
Okay. Well, for those that enjoyed the song as well, the name of the song is A Heart That Forgives. And it's by Kevin Lamar. And again, the name of the song is A Heart That Forgives. And if you Google it on YouTube, and you play it, and you put it on repeat, and I mean just listen to it over and over and over and over, you will find yourself crying. You will feel God touch your heart deeply. And all of those, because there's an anointing on that song. There's a gift of healing is on that song. The yoke, the anointing that destroys yokes and burdens is on that song. You know, the anointing to destroy the spirit of misery, unforgiveness, and bitterness is in that song. And the song is talking about forgiveness. So mm-hmm. when we have a willingness to forgive, that's when our hearts get unclogged from the unforgiveness and from the bitterness. So I want to identify that the spirit of bitterness is rooted in the spirit of anger. So whenever we get hurt or disappointed, something happens to us and we get angry. Unresolved anger, and I'm going to say that again, unresolved anger turns into resentment. And after you resent a person for a very, 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 very long time, and sometimes it could be a short time, it really depends on the condition of your heart and how many wounds you're dealing with, because some people have multiple wounds and different levels of anger. So I don't want you to think just because you got anger, like it's just a done deal. No. How many levels of anger do you have, and what level is your anger at? Because if your anger is at that level where you about to pop off, you about to do something crazy because your anger is controlling you, or are you at the beginning stages of that anger? Yeah, you mad, but you're not about to pop off on nobody. You mad and you feel it, but you controlling it. But when we get to that point and we can no longer control it, that's when the bitterness creeps in there. And that root of bitterness, it will spread out like a wildflower and wildfire, and it will take over your heart. It will take over your mind. It will take over your emotions. It will take over your thought process. And you will begin to rehearse what happened over and over and over, and and that bitterness is going to start growing. It's no longer in the infantile stage. That bitterness is maturing. That bitterness is now a toddler. That bitterness is going to turn into a little boy, a little girl, and then it's going to grow into a man, an adult, and then a senior. Do you know how many people go through life with bitterness? And the bitterness grows with them. So when you grow in bitterness, guess what? That's when mountains are erected. That's when strongholds take over. That's when you no longer are controlled by the contents of your heart, that good place of your heart, but you're controlled now by the damaged areas of your heart where the wound hurt you, it turned into anger, it turned into resentment, and then it turned into bitterness. And after bitterness, we have the spirit of rage. And so when we look at road rage today, when we look at people fighting on the internet, when we look at people fighting in the street with cars, when we look at people fighting in Walmart, in the grocery store, it is misery wrapped up in rage. It is misery wrapped up in unforgiveness. It is misery wrapped up in bitterness. And so how do we get unwrapped from bitterness? How do we get unwrapped from the spirit of rage? How do we get unwrapped from the spirit of unforgiveness? It's real simple. Understand that all you have to do is remove the you and the in, because it says unforgiveness. When you remove the you and the in, guess what? You have forgiveness. And it's not about your feelings. It's not about your emotions. It's a choice. It's a choice to free a person from a debt that, yes, they are guilty. Whatever that person did, whatever that person said, they are guilty of what they did to you. But when we look at what Jesus did on the cross for us, he died on the cross for everything we ever committed. And he said, God, I forgive them. And when we choose not to forgive other people, guess what? When we say, no, they owe me, they need to pay this debt. What if Jesus didn't stay on that cross? What if Jesus got down and he said, you know what? No, you know what? I got to get my little jitterbug walk. No, I ain't doing that, Erica. I ain't going out that way. I ain't dying for these people. They don't even know me. They don't even understand the sacrifice that I make. God, do I really have to do this? You see, Jesus didn't do that. He was very selfless. But he hung up on that cross for the remission of all of our sins. And when his blood was shed, it was for the remission of our sins. And he said, you know what, God? I love humanity. This is our creation. You created these people in our image. So I'm going to be the living sacrifice. I'm going to present my body as a living sacrifice. And I'm going to be the price to be paid for them to be forgiven. Not just for what they just did last night, or not just for what they just did just now, or last week, or last month, but God, for every sin that they ever committed in a lifetime, and every sin they will ever commit, I'm paying their debt in full. I'm paying their debt in full. I am paying their debt in full, God, because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Well, that everlasting life comes with forgiveness. So how do we overcome being miserable? How do we overcome unforgiveness and bitterness? We choose to honor the work, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Because he taught us how to forgive others by forgiving us. There's many scriptures in the Bible that talks about forgiveness. And Erica, can you turn to Psalm 32 real quick for me, please?
You said Psalm 32?
Yes, Psalm 32. All right. And for those of you that struggle with unforgiveness, for those of you that are struggling with, and I want to say here, some people, you have forgiven other people that have hurt you, but you have not forgiven yourself for things that you did, things that you said, or even things that happened to you, and you holding yourself hostage because you think some way that it was your fault, but it wasn't your fault. And God wants you to release yourself. God wants you to receive the fullness of his forgiveness so that the bitterness can release you, so that the resentment can leave you, so that the misery can leave you. So that song, A Heart That Forgives. Do you want a heart that forgives? Because a heart that forgives, guess what? The moment you choose to forgive, all of that heaviness has to leave you. You begin to feel light. You begin to smile again. You begin to laugh again. All of those songs you used to sing come back to your mind. But there's some new songs. And the joy of the Lord, it fills your heart. And your atmosphere changes, and your attitude changes. The attitude of gratitude is prevalent in every area of your life. So it all comes back to choices. It all comes back to all of the questions that Life Coach Erica presented to us tonight. So I'm going to ask you to take some time and to go back over this broadcast and really listen. And capture the questions that she presented and listen to the answers in our discussion, not just from Erica and I, but from all of the callers that participated in tonight's broadcast. And we do have a caller in the queue, and we are going to come over to you. We got 15 more minutes left. But, Erica, if you can please read read the first verse, the Psalm 32 and verse 1.
Verse 1? Okay, Psalm 32, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered."
Thank you so much. So when you choose to forgive, guess what? Your sin is covered. Now, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, guess what? He covered us. He covered us with the blood of Jesus. But I want you to bookmark Psalm 32 because Psalm 32 is a psalm that talks about forgiveness. And I pray that as you read that chapter, as you meditate on that chapter, as you talk to God about unforgiveness, as you talk to God about forgiveness, it's a choice. So Matthew 18:18, it says, "Whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So I want you to bind, render it powerless, forbid it from operating in your life. And what I'm saying is forbid the spirit of unforgiveness, forbid the spirit of resentment from operating in your life and tell it to pack its load and go. All of those bags that Life Coach Erica was talking about with Erica Badu, the bag lady. Bag lady, you gonna hurt your back carrying all those bags, something like that. I don't know the words, but you carrying all these bags, you carrying all this unforgiveness, carrying all of this bitterness, you carrying so much. And it's weighing you down. And God is saying, I want to heal you. I want to give you a heart that forgives. But we must have a willingness to love. We must have a willingness to receive all that God has offered to us, all that has already been presented to us. And Erica, to be honest, it's not an easy process.
No, not at all.
And so that's where doing the work is very important. And so very soon we are going to have some seminars and some concerts. We're going to, yeah, Erica's going to be singing, y'all. She's going to come out with an album. And
You don't want to hear me sing, honey. Cause I think everybody be miserable by the time they get finished listening to me.
But, you know, we love to laugh and have fun on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. And we encourage you all to joke and laugh, too, because it does the heart good. But I just want to read that same scripture, Psalm 32 and verse 1, in a different translation. And this translation is the New Living Translation. And it says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. And verse 2 says, yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. But finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. All my guilt is gone. All my guilt is gone. So there is nothing for you to carry anymore. So whoever hurt you, if Erica and I had a picture of the inside of your heart and we cut your heart open like a t-shirt, just cut it down the middle, we would see all of the people that you carrying around inside of your heart, inside of your mind, because you have not forgiven them. But tonight, through the word of God, through the message that we have shared with you, you have an opportunity to release those people. So will you let us take those people out of your hearts tonight? Will you allow us to help you release these people and take them out of bondage? Because they are weighing you down. God just said, all my guilt is gone. You forgave me. God has forgiven you. God is saying, forgive these people. Let go of the unforgiveness. Let go of the guilt. Let go of the rebellion. Let go of the bitterness. Let go of the misery. Because carrying the weight of all of these people is what's making you miserable. It's too much for you. It's too heavy. All of those bags is too heavy. You can't even walk. Your cart is bent over. The wheels can't even turn properly. Where are you going, bag lady, when you get to your destination? Who going to help you lift it up on the bus? Where are you going, bag man, when you get to the airport? How are you going to even get on the airplane with all of those bags? Pause and think about that while I turn it over to Erica.
Right now, Stacey done said a mouthful over here. Absolutely. Everything, and it all goes back to, us. Believe it or not, it's no escaping it. It's all about us and our mindset and us being willing to change. Because without change and without our minds being open, and I know this is not easy for everybody, you have to be God has to reach you in his time, and he can only reach you when you're ready, you know. So and he is the one that guides us through all of the process that we need to go through in order for us to rid ourselves of trauma, of unforgiveness, of vengeance, of, you know, anything that's not of him, because all of the stuff that we carry and the reasons why we carry it is not of your father. They don't come from him. None of this stuff comes from him. So the stuff that we're holding on to is the stuff that's being thrown at us by life each and every day by the enemy. And, you know, nobody wants to talk about that, but, you know, we have to realize that we are, we're working, I mean, we're working overtime, and I mean, we have to work overtime to keep ourselves even sane from day to day.
Yes.
So the fact that, you know, people, it's very easy for us to fall into just misery and depression and anxiety. It's very easy. It's that you could walk outside your door and somebody could just say something off the wall and wrong, you know, and that triggers something that happened to you like 20 years ago. And they don't even know they triggered you, but you feel some kind of way. Now you all upset and you anxious and you can't sleep and I can't believe they said that. And the thing about it is it's not them that you're mad at. It's the people that did it to you 20 years ago that you're still carrying, that you never got over. And the reason why I can say that is because I did it. I was at a job where people just, when I say planned on trying to get me fired, lied on me, was watching me to the point where I had to tell my man every time I got up from the desk, I had to report to somebody that I was away from the desk. And when I got back, I had to report that I was back at the desk. And I had to do this all day long at a job every single day. They were trying to find reasons to fire me. And I had to deal with that. And then when I got to another job, I said, okay, some of the same, some, and I said, Erica, and God said, you not, it's, they said, he said, it's not them that did that. You're not traumatized by what's going on now. You're traumatized by what the folks did before you got here. It has nothing to do with the new folks. It has something to do with the old, and you have to get over that. So I had to work through that process of getting over what happened in the past with these people and not blame the people that are before me, you know, right now, like in the present that were before. And we carry, and the thing about it is we don't even realize we carry this stuff until it shows up. And it will show up if you don't get rid of it, period. But we have a caller on the line, Mr. Mike Smith, who's ready to speak for us, to comment on the conversation.
Yeah, hi. I think that, you know, that was a very powerful topic tonight that you all talked on, because I've been there with all the things that I've been through in my life, and forgiveness was a really big thing with all the hurt that I went through. And you know, I'm still working through things, but I know I'm getting better every single day. And I owe you a thank you, Stacy, for correcting me on, you know, a couple of things that I had said, you know, in conversations we had, you know, and you totally turned the conversation around to where I had to, you know, say, oh, she's right. You know, I should be talking healing instead of pain or whatever it was at the time. And letting go is a huge thing as far as I'm concerned. And how we wake up in the morning is pretty much critical to our entire day. Because I was looking at something here a couple months ago that basically said, be the kind of person that when you wake up in the morning, the devil turns around and looks, oh, no, they're up. Right?
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, are we going to sit there and go, oh, here we go again and invite him to ruin our entire day? Are we going to sit there and say, this is a day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know? We got to turn around and send him running the second we open our eyes by thanking God first.
Absolutely.
So how did, Mike, how did you get to that point, though, where you, how did you move from such a state of misery that the negative expectancy and everything, how did you graduate to an attitude of gratitude? Like, what happened?
Well, one of the things that that helped was when I moved from where I used to live to where I'm at now, you know, back there was a whole ton of misery, you know, and a lot of people that were causing that misery. It wasn't until I got to where I am now that, you know, I finally started hearing the Lord saying, hey, you know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I, you know, he first started telling me that, I'm like, are you talking to me? You know, when you're used to hearing you're a nobody or you're worthless or you're this or you're that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all of a sudden God says, hey, you're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, to have him, what really released a lot of stuff for me was when he told me, you know, you're who I say you are, not who everybody else says you are.
Absolutely.
You know, and I got to stop listening to those people and listening to those voices from the past that try to keep getting in my head and throwing that stuff up, you know, in my face. It's like, no, I'm who God says I am, you know, and everything. And, you know, 2 or 3 months ago, you know, when he started talking to me about an attitude of gratitude, I'm like, you know, and that was right, I think, right after Stacy and I had a conversation, and she brought up some key things that you know, helped open my eyes a bit, and then the Lord gave me this message not long after that, you know, about having an attitude of gratitude when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, you know. It really makes a big difference.
And not only does it make a difference, and one of the key things that I was waiting for was the word believe, because
yep.
we have to
believe
what God is saying about us, and we have to reject the lies. So let's connect this with the topic, you know, what is misery? Yep. And Erica kept talking about the bags, you know, bag lady. So that bag is full of lies. That bag is full of deception and falsehood. That bag is full of trauma. That bag is full of stuff that don't belong to us. And so when you reject the lies, when you reject the rejection, and you come to that place of acceptance and believing that God loves you, believing that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, believing that you have a choice, you can forgive. You don't have to harbor the unforgiveness. You don't have to harbor the bitterness. That's where transformational healing comes in, and it's all about a choice. But the enemy loves to keep us wrapped up in chaos and confusion and distract us so that we can't concentrate and make healthy decisions. And that's why we come to the table the way we do. We are focusing on mental health, mental wellness, and mental awareness. And everything that we're talking about falls in those categories, because it's what we're feeding our soul. What we're feeding our soul is what's going to either heal our soul or allow our soul to continue to be unhealthy and miserable. So what kind of food are you eating today? Are you eating negativity? Are you eating lies? Are you eating the painful, hurtful words, the put-downs? What are you eating? What are you partaking of? What are you receiving from other people? Because most of the things that create the misery, guess what? It's not even our stuff. It's intrusions that are presented by the enemy, because he's good with what he does. We're getting us off track and distracted. But once we focus in on God and really listen to God and what God said and believe what he said, and come out of agreement with the lies, that's when everything changes. And it's like that airplane is taking off, but you feel that little bit of turbulence, and then all of a sudden, that thing just is straight. It's going where it needs to go. So I thank God for this discussion, and we want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. Tonight's broadcast is entitled Soul Food Friday. And Mike Smith, we thank you so much for joining us. We are going to have you back where you could talk about the attitude of gratitude. And Evangelist Jacqueline, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And Erica, I'm going to come back to you for your closing remarks. And then I'll give my closing remarks, and we are going to just address any questions or any prayer requests anybody may have before we close out. Erica?
Yes.
Okay, you want to give your comments?
I sure can. Well, this will be my closing. I really don't have any comments. Just my closing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say to everyone who's listening that give yourself some grace. You know, sit down and, you know, self-reflect and take a look at your situation from every angle. And it's not hard. It's not easy to do. When we all have to self-reflect, it's basically looking at all the things that are wrong with you, as well as the ones that you like, that you believe are right. The only way we get better and we get out of a negative mindset, misery, and all of that is if we have to have real conversations with ourselves. By ourselves.
And we have to look at
ourselves in the mirror and say, okay, what is it? What do I need to change? What is it, my thought process? What am I thinking on a daily basis? Is it positive? Is it making a positive mark in my life, or is it negative? Am I causing my own problems? You really got to look at this stuff. And it, like I said, it's not easy to live a life that you think is okay and that you've been going on and, you know, I'm doing good. I'm a good person. And, you know, why am I not getting better? And, you know, my life is not getting better and I'm not getting the things that, you know, I believe I deserve and all this stuff. You got to look at that stuff and say, am I doing something wrong? Am I on the right path? Is my mind not, you know, on the right course? We got to look at that stuff. And then when you find out and you say, because it hits you like a ton of rocks, because and I'll give you my personal experience. Before I started reading the Bible and developing my relationship with God, that's how I thought. I'm a good person. I don't bother nobody. You know, I mind my business. And, you know, I don't want nothing but good for people. That's not enough. That's not enough, because when I started reading that Bible, and the Bible is like a mirror. So you sitting up here thinking you miss Goody Two Shoes or miss the Goody Two Shoes, and you start reading that Bible, and it says, no, you gotta love your neighbor like you love yourself, even though, you know, you gotta forgive a person 70 times 7 or something like that. And I'm sitting up here saying now, really? I mean, when I tell you, I sat up there and I said, and I can understand it, and I'm not trying to be funny. I think it's funny, though. I can understand why people are afraid to read the Bible. I really do believe people are afraid of what they will see about themselves when reading it. Because I don't know if anyone else knows this, when you read the Bible, when you give somebody a Bible scripture, they can no longer say they didn't know. So that's accountability.
Yeah.
So the Bible holds you accountable. You can't sit here and say, and when you read it and now you know, guess who's holding you accountable? Your Father in heaven is holding you accountable. You can't sit up there and say, I did not know, because he was there when you read it. So he's not trying to air it. So I get it. It's a hard process. But I am serious when I say to everyone who is listening that the only way you are going to dig yourself out of a miserable state, a negative mindset, is if you develop a relationship with God, your Father in heaven. That is the only person who can lead you out of it, because he knows you, because he created you. He knows how you operate. He knows how you think on a daily basis. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. So what better person to develop a relationship with to dig yourself out of any and all problems that you have going on in your life is him. He's the only one. And if you find someone who, let's say somebody approaches you when you're going through a negative state, and they give you, they breathe life into your situation. They tell you, this is what you should do. See this person. Talk to this person. This is what you do. Guess who sent them? They didn't just show up out of the air and knew what your problem was. God sent them because he knew that you would get the information and you would take it in from the person that he sent. He's there everywhere you go. There are no, you know, magicians behind the scenes or anything. There's nobody watching you but God. He knows. That's why some of the stuff that you believe is not real, that you can't fathom, that's exactly who it is. When somebody steps into your life and they give you what you need, that's God giving you what you need through them. They're conduits. We're all conduits. We're not doing the real stuff that you need. Your Father is doing real stuff. So it's just something to think about. You know, I know some people are not there yet, and that's okay. Everyone in their own time. Because it took me some time. It takes others some time to develop that relationship, to realize who God is. Don't be hard on yourself. Give yourself some grace. And just think about it. That's all I'm asking. Just think about it. And I pass the mic on to Stacy.
And Stacy got to sing the song. That girl is on fire. That was the bomb. Oh, my goodness. I love how God just threw you just now. That was amazing. And I am so very, very grateful for just your boldness and the love that you have for God's people, because that was a powerful word right there. And I am just so, so very, very grateful for all that you shared and for the advice that you just gave. So we want to say thank you to our caller that shared the testimony earlier. We want to say thank you to Michael Smith for joining us. Thank you to Evangelist Jacqueline, and we invite you to make a choice to say goodbye to misery by choosing to forgive those that have hurt you. And then for those of us that have hurt other people, we also need to seek their forgiveness. And some people, you simply can't go to them and say, oh, can you forgive me? Because it may not be a safe thing to do. But you can always go to God and make it right with God as well. So we thank you all for joining us. And we invite you to tune in on Thursday morning at 9 a.m. I'm doing a series. Everything that we do makes sense. And so our topic tonight was, what was misery and how do we overcome misery? And along the lines of Erica saying, you know, letting go of all of them bags. So Thursday at 9 a.m., the message is going to be cast your burdens upon the Lord. And so I'm going to be providing demonstrations through the Word of God of how we could start letting some of this stuff go. And then on Friday night, the topic is his words were smooth as butter.
Mm.
And that's April the 25th at 9 a.m., which is a Thursday morning. That's Cast Your Burdens Upon the Lord, Part 1. And then Friday night for Soul Food, that's April the 26th at 7 p.m., his words were smooth as butter. And then I'll be hosting that one, that session. And then on May the 3rd, Life Coach Erica will be the facilitator, and the topic is going to be, are you a procrastinator? So we just wanted to give those titles and pray that you will mark your calendars accordingly so that you can tune in to join us. Please share the links and the information with your loved ones, with your friends. And if you have any topics that you would like for us to bring awareness to, please feel free to reach out to us. So at this time, I'm going to say thank you so much for everyone that took the time to join us and to share your testimony, to share your comments. And Mike, do you have anything to say before we go?
No, not really. I mean, I know that, you know, letting go of the baggage is a very key thing for anybody if they ever want to reach that place of joy that the Lord has for them.
Yeah.
He's done that for me. Given me a lot of joy, especially lately. And I'm grateful to God for that.
Amen.
Well, amen.
Thank you so much. And thank you to our radio listeners, everyone that joined in tonight. We love you. We thank you. And we do pray over you. We pray over our topics. And so we just thank you so much for making tonight a success. And God bless everyone. Be safe. And we'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye.